Blog Talk Radio.
Wouldn't you like to see me?
Good evening. Man, that's a great song. That's a very good song. Welcome to Possum Media Radio, Thursday Night Special, Breaking the Curse.
Yes, it was. Hey, Brother Hess, since you already want to chime in, I would have bring you. Hey, I got a question for you, man. What's that instrument that he's playing it on? Like, that sounds like elevated music, but I like it.
Yeah, man. I think that's kind of like what's the name of that? The cuticle? What's the name of that type of music that they was playing back in the 70s and 80s?
Bro, I was born in 85. I don't even know what a 70s is yet.
Come on, now, don't act like that. Now you try to make me feel old, man. No, but I think acoustical. I think that's what I'm thinking about, acoustical type musicians, the acoustical, because they had like the flute sound, like they had like the cello type noise back there. But yeah, you're right, man. It is kind of like that mellow, that laid back, harmonizing, straight out the elevator.
Yeah,
but yeah, brother, go ahead, man. Peace and
straight
rest.
Chill.
How you doing?
No. How you doing, man? You know, we got to talk about something. Well, you know, tonight we're going to talk about money, but, you know, before we get it started real quick, do you want to tell us a little bit about Pops Movement, our website, and what we got going on real quick before we get going?
Sure, most definitely, man. Welcome, everybody, to Pops Movement Radio Networks. This is Thursday night, Breaking the Curse, and you're live with Brother Yon and Brother Hess as we strive to deliver our best. And family, we want to definitely invite everyone over to our website, www.popsmovement.com, as well as check out our new project that we've been working upon, some of us who are part of Pops Movement, and that is at www.peacesummit2018.org. And you'll be able to see some of the things that we've been doing there live on the front lines. Outside of that, family, we want to welcome everybody into Pops Movement. This is People Organizing Peace System. And the systems that we organize is the Six Steps to Peace, PEACE, standing for Preparing Everyone as Change Evolves. We know that a change is going to come, but what we evolve into is predicated upon our ability to be prepared or the lack thereof. And so we definitely invite our family members to always be reminded of the importance of going forward with preparing themselves, you know, ahead of time, being proactive. And that's kind of what our six steps is meant to do, being proactive with life. And one of the things that we strive to do in step one is to form bonds based on how we can be valuable to another person's life, altruistically, meaning doing what we do for them without looking for anything in return, based upon the blessing that we get for being useful, being like an angel in someone else's life in that moment. In step two, we begin to identify problems that we see exist, because we now realize that, you know, here in our society, we can form bonds all day, but if we don't identify some of the issues that are confronting us, then we can't work things out, and we need some workouts. We need some exercises. We need some help in poverty-stricken America. And we need it in our prisons, in our schools. We need it all across this globe. And so, family, we want to introduce step two as a way of not saying just form a bond and do something nice for somebody, but actually begin to look deeper and delve into what it requires to see that we both have problems. We both have issues that we confront. And we want to ask that society be willing to, you know, do what it takes, you know, to open up and share that. Step three, we express the importance of unity, meaning that we take a moment out to, you know, unite with others around what it is that we see our problems as. And in doing so, we want to incorporate a very special and unique way of doing this by making an open show of wanting to unite, wanting to come together, to bring about a spirit of togetherness, whether it's in our homes, in our community streets, or in our jobs, you know, at the local centers, when we go to the gym. But we want to show an openness, a willingness to unite and come together. And with that type of spirit of togetherness, we go into step four, which is getting to the solution. What are the principles that we need to practice in order to remove from our lives, from our minds? You know, how do we take ourselves out of some very messed up situations? You know, a lot of people are running from a lot of paths, and they're running to drugs, like we spoke about in last week's show. They're running out of fear, like we spoke about the week before last, those fears. And so when we think about these curses of fear, you know, of drugs, you know, how do we get out of that? Usually it's based upon principles. And so in step four, we practice these principles. We apply them to our everyday life, and we, you know, hold each other accountable. We associate this to our daily routines and our conversations and dialogue. And with that, we go into step five by building a strategy. We have a formed think tank, and we commit ourselves to showing up on time, being punctual about our ability to be accurate, brief, and concise, and putting the points on the table. You know, what are the solutions? Who can we share these solutions with, and how can we assist them with walking down the path of making these applicable in their life, in their communities, and in their social circles? With that being said, we finally go into step six, which is after going through these first five steps, we realize now we have a responsibility. And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. And so we take this opportunity to, you know, get involved, take on responsibilities. If there's no one in the community working with the youth, you start doing it. If there's no one helping the elderly, I need to start doing it. If there's no one around being willing to counsel these single mothers striving to raise four and five kids in a home with fathers who are in prison or in the grave, you start being that social worker. We don't need no social workers coming from downtown. We got social workers right there. Just socialize with these people and begin to help them connect the dots, begin to help them make phone calls, begin to think outside of the box. And that's the type of responsibility that step six is requesting of us in these six steps to peace. But with that being said, family, I done spoke long enough, and Brother Yon is waving his arms back and forth like, bro, dog, homie, come on, man. Can we get into the show? So peace and blessings. I turn the mic back over to Brother Yon. Peace, brother.
Peace, brother. Appreciate that. You did a very good job there breaking it all down. But we didn't even talk about what we're going to talk about tonight, and we're going to talk about money, you know. The curse of money. And I kind of like this topic. You know, I came to you, Brother Hess, I don't know, about a week ago. I said, you know what's something we need to talk about is money. And because, you know, some people say, you know, money's bad, money's good, I need it, I want it. You know, some people don't even know how to attain it. But the thing about money, and this is just my perspective of it, is it's a tool. And it's a tool in acquiring your wants or desires, whatever they may be. You know, Jonathan Swift said, a wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart. It's absolutely true, in my opinion. You know, money is not in my heart. It's just something I strive every single day when I wake up to achieve and receive so that I can do certain things with it, whether it's, you know, to give to the someone who, you know, is less fortunate than myself, to give to family, to give to friends, to, you know, to give myself something that I may need, to create a future for myself, you know, so that way I could be more successful later in life. You know, right now I could strive and become more successful later. And one thing I learned coming up, you know, as a little kid, is it was hard to get money. You know, it was like, I remember my first real job, I was like seven years old, I think. Yeah, I would say about seven. And what I did was I organized the kids in my neighborhood, and I said, look, this is the goal. There's leaves everywhere. I got the rakes. Let's get to working. I'll go knock on the doors. You guys rake them. While I get the clients up, you know, when we get the clientele on this block, I'll come back and start helping raking them as well. And I remember that first day I came to my dad, the first day that we did that, I personally made like $120. And I was like, I can't believe it. I'm 7 years old and I made $120. So I already had the entrepreneurial spirit inside of myself. Now, what I did with that money, we're not going to talk about because I completely blew it on a bunch of stuff I shouldn't have had. And I probably ended up at the dentist real quick. Probably could have prevented that. But that's a different conversation. You know, I was a kid and I didn't know any better. But that's neither here nor there. And, you know, when you're coming up in, you know, in poverty-stricken America, it's hard to attain that money. So you have to be extra creative. But the problem is we have an admiration of money and the people who have the money. We lose the value of the money because we see what it does and we lose the concept of what it can do. For example, the individual who chooses to rob the banks or rob the people or rob the houses or whatever it is that they do, they have a less respect for that money than the person who wakes up every single day going to work a 9-to-5 or whatever hours they're putting in to attain that money. I know this for a fact because I lived both lives, or living the other life, and I lived both lives at one point. You know, I woke up every single day, I maintained a job, but I was still out there in the streets doing dirt, doing bad things, trying to harm, you know, people that are around me, not caring how they felt about it. And what I noticed is the money that I worked very hard to attain, I made sure that I saved every single penny of it and it only went to things that were necessary. But the money that I took and the money that I stole and the money that I did whatever I did to get, I spent that very frivolously and I didn't care. So I had a different value of the money. And now that I work and maintain just a job, man, am I cheap sometimes. I'd rather go to the Payless or the Walmart. I'd rather, like, how much are the shoes? $100. You guys are lying. I'll give you $20 for those shoes. Nope, okay, next shoe, then I'm going to go for something different. And that's the way my mentality is. I'm looking at the end, you know, I'm looking at what my money can do for me long term. I'm not looking at the money today. So that's just, you know, just a little bit brief of an opener. I would love to hear what people have to say. You know, just press one, come on in, share your story, your understanding of money as we start, you know, developing this topic. You know, I got some things I definitely want to discuss about how to make money, how to be successful at it, and, you know, how to have the right perspective of it. So I have been speaking for a little bit. I'm going to stop waving the arms at you, Brother Hess, and throw you the ball real quick. You go ahead and take over. Let me know how you're feeling. There's something you want to say, ask. You know why I'm here. Let's get it popping.
Already, man. It's only Fell Family. And definitely, like Brother Yon said, if y'all would like to share, man, just come on in by pressing 1. Your call will be placed in the queue, and we'll bring you on in accordance with where we see you at. You know, my whole perspective on this is one thing. We of poverty-stricken America have a real serious issue. And our issue is based upon one thing and one thing only, a lack of knowledge. And I'm sick of us. I am sick of us. I'm so sick of us, sometimes I just want to earl us up because I don't know how to hold it down any longer. I'm tired of us being poor and chasing money before we chase the knowledge of self. And that's where I find my sickness at. You know, I was speaking to one of my brothers earlier this afternoon, and we was talking about, you know, how, you know, it's good for a man to know who he is, whose he is, before he begins to go out on a quest to become someone important, influential, powerful, with leadership, qualities, skills, and abilities. Because if you don't know who he is and whose he is, then he's going out and chasing this based on what he sees in the world. It's not coming from his soul. It's not coming from his spirit. And by it not coming from that, you dig, he's striving to emulate something other than who he is. So he want to be a Nino Brown. He want to be a Frank Lucas. He want to be a Bugsy Siegel. You dig? He want to be an Elliot Ness. And it's like, damn, homie, you don't even know who you is. You don't even know what you was cultivated to be. But here you want this money, you want this power, you want this influence, and you don't even know what to do with it. You don't have even a natural of utilizing. You just want to do whatever the other big guys said. They got the big Rolls Royces and the big Benzes and the Beamers and the other, you know, chunky pieces that they ride around in real tall. And so when I find myself wanting to earl up this form of the lack of knowledge within our poverty-stricken culture, it's something that is renewed. It's renewed when I see the sisters and the brothers continuously doing this repetitively, generation after generation after generation. And instead of it getting better, it seems to be getting worse. But let me stop, because I don't want to offend anybody. And I don't want anybody to feel like what I'm saying is something that, you know, they can say, well, Brother Hess, you don't understand what the government did to us, and you don't realize how, you know, the society at hand has crippled our people and this, that, and another. And I'm like, listen, family, I done studied that long and hard, and I understand exactly what they did. I may have a better knowledge of it than you. But when it comes to change, change don't come from the outside. It don't come from excuses. Change comes from within, and it comes with taking on responsibility, accountability, and willing to focus on sustainability. Can I sustain in a world that is throwing all of this, in a society with a governmental agency that's slinging all of this at me? Can I sustain this spiritual sense of self, of manhood, of womanhood? Because if not, then I am the crippling of my own disease. I am the curse bearer of my own curses. And when we speak about breaking the curse, one of the things that I have to ask us is, pain's money. I have to ask us, what you need so much money for? What you want to do? Move on up to the east side? To an apartment in the sky? I mean, what do you want to do with the money? What are you striving to get it for? Who are you striving to get it for? So you can move your family out the hood? And leave everybody else that you love right there in that same broken down, discarded, gentrified hood. And so these are the things that I find myself questioning me about. Because, you know, my biggest problem ain't you. Believe it or not, my biggest problem is me. And seeing how I've been greedy over the years, chasing that almighty dollar through selling the dope, through laying that pistol off in somebody's mouth, through going around and extorting people, putting the press down on them. If they got money, then they need to break me off or else. See, that was the type of mentality that I had growing up in the hood, growing up in the pens. And I didn't even know what to do with the money. I used it as a tool, like Brother Yon said, but I used it as a tool for influence because I wanted more people to be able to depend upon me, because if they depended upon me, then I could control them. I don't want to control nobody no more. You see, when I gain the knowledge of self, it breaks the curse of this money manipulation scheme, of this money-hungry scheme, this money-power scheme. See, the knowledge of self shows me that I'm the most valuable thing that there is in my possession, and I am the most valuable thing that there will ever be in my possession. My mind, my influence, my love, my hands, my eyes, my dreams and vision. See, those are the most important things that I have possession of. Money can only be used as a bartering system for me to further cultivate that and then share that cultivated mind, sight, and dreams with others who don't have it yet or who are working toward obtaining it and need some help along the way. And so with that being said, I see Brother Yon saying, bro, please, you're just doing too much right now. I'm sorry, brother. I say peace and blessings, love and service, and I pass this mic back off to our beloved Brother Young.
Hey, at least you recognize. At least I saw you staring at that wall. You were in the zone for a minute. I'm like, dude, I'm over here waving my hands. You did not see me, man. But I appreciate you passing it back because it was something I wanted to say. I was trying to kick it in, but you just kept talking. But on some real stuff, bro, you hit it home with a couple of things that I was already thinking about myself. And one of the things that I've noticed is just in general when it comes to money, and this is a misconception people have. And you said to yourself, what are you striving to get it for? Now, one thing I learned about money is, like you stated, you have to have knowledge. You cannot make money without knowledge. It doesn't matter if you're a dope dealer, if you're a thief, you're an entrepreneur, you're a doctor, a lawyer. It doesn't matter what you do. You have to have knowledge of whatever it is that you're doing. The problem is the dealers and the pushers and the thieves and all the people who do something wrong, they have the wrong type of knowledge. They have the right knowledge of how to manipulate a system, but they're not manipulating it to the right degree. They're sending themselves off because they're just going down the cycle that everybody else has already gone down. Because the end result, we know what the end result is, jail, death, or prison. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, where else are you going to go? How many 80-year-old drug dealers do you know? Most of them are broke. So it's like you got to be realistic. So it's longevity. And some people say, well, I'm doing this for my family. Man, I got something to tell you about what you're going to do for your family. First off, if you had knowledge of what you're about to do for your family, you would have done things a little bit different. You chose the selfish, the easy way out, and that's why you're doing the wrong things. It's hard to do it the right way. It's hard to go work that job. It's hard to save your money and be frugal with it. It's hard to be conscious about what you're eating, what you're buying, and when you're buying it. That's what's hard. And you were just basically telling me you got excuses. Well, where I come from, at my school, you know what we call excuses? I am Groot. We give you that look and we say, I am Groot, just like in the movie. That's all that character says in if you ever watched the movie. I forgot the movie. But whatever, the little tree dude in the movie with the man. I'll think of it. I'll get back to the movie. But the point is, that's all he says the whole movie. I am Groot. So you got excuses. I am Groot is all I hear every single time you say it. I ain't even hearing your excuses. Because if you really understood what it takes to make money, you would understand there's so many ways to invest your money. You can invest your money into the stock market if you had knowledge of the market. You would understand that dividend funds pay you for owning their shares. A company like AT&T, Verizon, Procter & Gamble, these companies, what you buy in their shares, they're paying you every single quarter to own their stock on top of the raise, on top of their stock growing. And even if it falls, you're still getting paid. Those are those type of stocks. You can get an IRA. If you really were smart about what you're trying to do with your money, you're saying, I'm trying to do it for my family. No, what you really should be doing is investing in an entire IRA. You have $5,500 every single year you can invest as an individual until you're 59 and a half years old. At that point, you could take your money out. And guess what? If you did $5,500 every single year and you started at 20 years old and every single year until you were about 60 years old, you'd be sitting on over $4 or $5 million. All it takes is just a startup. Even if you only did $1,000, you might be sitting on $1.2-1.3 million by the time you're 60 years old, but you're not looking that far ahead. You're looking at, I need this now. I want the Gucci, the Prada. I need the belts. I need the foods. I need the cars. I need all that stuff. Cars depreciate. I'm sorry. Cars depreciate. I'm perfectly content riding around my little Geo Pinto that makes it making some noise. But guess what? I got $500 and it gets me from point A to point B. And guess what? I'm saving money. Because then I'm taking that money I'm saving on that $80,000, $100,000 car that you bought. I'm going to reinvest in my money so it can grow. I'm putting money aside for my children and putting it into their college fund and letting that earn compound interest. What is compound interest? Do you even know what that word, the terminology means? Imagine if I told you, I'm not guaranteeing you it, but the average is 8 to 10% compound interest per year on your money. That's how I got from $5,500 every single year from the age of 20 to the age of 60 and got I'm over $5-6 million. That's how I got to that number. 10% per year on your money. You're investing more money, you make more money every single year, and it grows on interest. Why don't you start a savings account for your kids? A mutual fund. How about bonds? Like, what do you know about investing into money? Gold,
You know, like there's so many different ways. What people really are not understanding, this is just my understanding of it. I'm not saying this is the way it is. But people are too instant gratification. I want it now. I'm not willing to wait. If I can't have it now, it's like a child. You look at a little kid to me crying and stuff. No, I want my bottle now. No, I'm not willing to wait another hour. I'm crying for my bottle right now. I'm enjoying the process of earning my money. I'm enjoying the process of my success. I'm enjoying that portion. I don't care what the end result is. The end result is what it's going to be, whatever it's going to be. But what am I doing today to achieve that? That's what I love. The money is just the reward. The money comes with it. That's how people, it's like one thing I learned from Warren Buffett, and he said this very clear and plainly. Why do rich people keep getting richer? And I'm like, that's okay, I'm listening. Why do rich people keep getting richer? Because they keep reinvesting into themselves. They invest their money. So when the market crashes, they buy more. Where everybody else is pulling out. Oh, my God, the market crashed. I got to get all my money out. I'm about to be broke. No. You stay firm. You stay fast. You're steadfast. And you wait for the market to go back up because it always does. I own a share right now. I bought it at $1 a share. I saw, you know, it was a, you know, 50 cents last year. I saw it growing. I did my research. It's a metals company. It has projected life of $2. Man, I was losing money for the first month. I'm in the red. I'm like, man, I want to sell out. This boy is going to keep going down. And then guess what? Today I actually went up 10%. I'm over here doing backflips. My boss looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, dude, I just made 10% of my money. I'm back. I'm in the green. It's just the process of earning that money. And just enjoying what you're going through and learning more about it. You know what I mean? It's not just about getting it. It's what you're doing. You're trying. The number one thing that any individual, when they get old, is what legacy did they leave behind? Don't you want to leave a legacy where you've left something behind to your children, your grandchildren, and their children, and their children? That's what Rockefeller started. The J.P. Morgan with Chase. You know what I mean? The Firestone. They had a big meeting in it when the Depression happened in the 1930s. It was a big meeting amongst all the heads. And they sat down and they created a plan of action. And they said, we're not going to let our kids be unsuccessful. We're going to do this. We're going to invest and we're going to work our butts off. Now, a lot of people don't even understand the grind. That's another thing. It's like, well, if I don't have it in the next 2 years, I want to be a millionaire in 5 years. Well, you know what? You're the person that's not going to be a millionaire. The person who says, I want to be a millionaire in 10, 20 years, that person is probably more successful because they're probably focused on the process of being a millionaire while you're focused on the carrot of being a millionaire. I want to buy the Chicago Bears. I'm from Chicago. I want the Bears. What do I have to do to buy the Bears? Let's start with that. Let's create a strategy, a plan of action. You know what I mean? I'm building a bond with myself. I'm identifying my problem. I'm broke. I'm finding people who know stuff. I've created some unity here. We're problem solving. Now I got a strategy. What am I going to do to accomplish it? Now I'm taking responsibility. Now I'm executing that plan, and I'm executing it flawlessly. And even if I have my downs, I have a contingency plan because I've already strategized. If this falls through, I'm already on plan B. If plan B falls through, I'm on plan C. Man, I don't even know if I got a plan D, but maybe I do. It really depends on what I'm striving to accomplish. You know what I mean? We really just need to start thinking about life as a marathon, not as a race. We're not sprinting to the finish line. We're taking our time. I'm the hare. I'm not the hare. I'm the tortoise. You're the hare. Stop being the hare. Be more, you know, financially literate. Teach your kids about this stuff. If you're not knowledgeable, how can your kids be knowledgeable? Now you're just creating that cycle. It's kind of like recidivism. They're creating that cycle. Well, my daddy was in jail. His daddy was in jail. I'm going to go to jail. My kids are going to go to jail. So what? Because you're broke, your kids are going to be broke, and their kids are going to be broke. Someone's got to stop bleeding at some point. Maybe I'm saying too much. Maybe a little aggressive. Maybe I'm setting unrealistic expectations for people. I don't know, bro. You can take over, man.
Peace and blessings, love and service, brother. I think you're doing an excellent service of, you know, breaking it down child style so we don't miss it. You know, one of the key areas that you hit on was the, you know, the fact that we don't know the system. We don't understand the system of economics. And, you know, that can become a curse when we want to live up to the lifestyle habits of those who understand the systems of economics. See, when we watch television, these are people who are advertising different deals, different items. and they have an objective, and it's to push these items out and to get them sold. And so they make them seem as luring as they possibly can to the eye. And in using their sales pitch, a lot of our people begin to say, man, I need that iPhone 21. You know what I mean? I need that Galaxy Z23. I need these super Galaxy phones, you know what I mean? You know, and it's like everybody else, you know, would really look at me and think a lot about me if I had that. Man, if I could just get those J's. Man, if I had that car. Man, so many people. But we don't realize that once we get that car, once we get that Acura, then we want the Mercedes. And once we get the Mercedes, then we want the Bentley. And once we get the Bentley, then we want the Lamborghini. And it's like it's an ongoing routine. And it's all because there is no knowledge of self. And we corrupt who we are. And that is where the curse comes in. See, many times we don't realize that these people who understand the systems of economics, the people who are rich and getting richer and richer, while we're seemingly getting poorer and more depressed and suppressing things that should not be suppressed, which is making us not only, you know, spiritually sick, but actually physically sick, emotionally distraught, socially inclined to be anti-social, meaning wanting to hurt others, feed off others. And so what I'm looking at today is I'm looking at my biggest curse. My biggest curse was this chase. And like a greyhound, they opened up the gate of life. They showed me that in order to be a successful man, you had to have a nice car, a beautiful wife about 5 foot, whatever, you know, this many hundreds of pounds, and you had to have a side woman, and you had to have this type of a home, you had to have this type of a job, you had to have this type of a wardrobe to be able to wear daily. And this is the criteria that one must meet in order to have a successful life. And then they open the gates, and like a greyhound, I went to running, and there goes the rabbit. The rabbit is the constant reminder of what I'm supposed to be having if I'm going to be a successful man in this society. And I'm on the chase. I'm on the run. I got to get the money, get the money, get the money, get the money. And from the age of 10 years old, probably even before then, but most definitely from the age of 10 years on, I began to want to live up to a standard. TV said, that society said, that my most richest kids in school set when they was wearing the polo boots, when they was wearing the heel figure, Nautica, or whatever it is that was going on as a trend at the time, Eddie Bauer, whatever. It's like now I had to live up to their qualifications in order to feel like I have achieved a sense of self. But it wasn't a sense of self. And that's where the curse came in. I cursed myself. I placed myself under a spell that only saw what I needed to have in order to be able to fit in. But what if I never get it? Does that mean that my life is unsuccessful? If I never understand these systems, does that mean my life is a loss? And so I had to begin to ask myself these questions. And when I began to ask myself these questions, I found myself in a situation of not having a whole lot, but a little bit. And the question was, like the brother said, you know, in step four, we talk about principles, getting into the solution. And I had to find my solution in finding myself. And once I found me, I found what I love. You see, for me, I love recovery. I love coming back. I love being a part of a comeback story, my own and others. And so now I have to have the tools that I need in order to be a part of these comeback stories. People who have gone from criminal to legal. People who have gone from drug addicts to recovering addicts. People who have gone from manipulators to men of integrity. You dig where I'm coming from? It's like, this is a part of my success. It's not the money anymore. When I found who I was, I found my calling in life, and my calling was to bring people out of the darkness, to walk them out step by step, to help them to envision what it is to be in the light, not in the light of money, in the light of success. Again, like Brother Yon said, money ain't nothing but a tool for bartering, for trading to get what it is you want to be successful in. The only thing you want to be successful in is money? I pray not. And so when we begin to find our calling in life, we begin to break the curse. Because now money does not have that value upon it. Our mind has the value. Our networking sources have the value. And our capabilities of being able to do what it is that we were called to do in our family, in our communities, in our groups, organizations, churches, and what have you, now that becomes the value source. And funding is only a tool to see how hard we're willing to work to provide certain provisions that's needed in order to get certain missions accomplished. You know, right now we're working on this 2018 Peace Summit. And when we started working on it, I'm just going to give a little small piece of it. Many of the people, they said, well, Brother Hiss, you all ain't going to be able to do that Peace Summit unless you got some money. Y'all got to go out and get about $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 if y'all talking about doing a Peace Summit, because y'all got to fly people out there to L.A. Y'all got to pay for these big venues. Y'all got to be able to ride people in style around the city. Y'all got to be able to do all these big things, feeding big and doing big. And I was like, well, hold on. I ain't no big person like that. You know, I'm a regular, you know, regular cat from the block, man. I ain't no, you know, high and mighty, you know, I ain't no beggar. I ain't finna go around the different, you know, business people and governmental agencies and things of that nature begging for their money. I ain't that type of cat. You know, me and my partners, we'll pack up in a van, you dig? And we'll mash out from the city of Atlanta and roll across these different states till we get to L.A. And if we got to eat, you know, together, buying a loaf of bread and he get the mayonnaise and he get the bologna, or the peanut butter and jelly or whatever, then that's how we going to make it. But we ain't coming to L.A. in order to showcase. We coming to L.A. to let it be known that Atlanta, Georgia's growth and development, my blood brothers, my Crip brothers, my mob 30 deep brothers, GF, all of my white brothers that's in Ghostface that have begun to walk a spiritual walk, who have begun to talk a spiritual talk and have reclaimed their identity of self. And now, you know, we don't claim gang banging. We claim a social renewal. A social renewal, meaning that our face in society has changed. We want to help the children, not be a bad example. And so we come into L.A., this is our opportunity to showcase our willingness to be a part of the change effort. And we come out here to show them the community cleanups we done did. You understand me? How we went around the community for 3 weeks straight and collected canned goods and different food items in order to do a community feeding. You know, we established a community food bank. These are the things that we want to show out in L.A. that the Crips, Bloods, GDs, Vice Lords, Stones, Ghostface, you feel me, have been doing here in the state of Georgia. And so because of that, I had to go back to the people that was telling me that we had to have all of this big money. And I said, well, family, you would have to have that if you were striving to bring something together. But we don't need that. We need enough to be able to make sure we got a place over our heads, and we can probably get some roofs from the church, from the masjid. They'll let us sleep on the floor. We'll buy some cots, some air mattresses, some sleeping bags, whatever we need to do to be able to house 60, 70 people that's willing to come across this nation to be a part of this monumental event. But it ain't about monumental event if it's about showcasing. It's only a monumental event if people have sacrificed to get there and make this moment one of the most valuable times in their life. to acquire a networking source, to give examples of what they've given, and to share what it is that they've learned along this long, weary road of finding self. And so I'm going to shut up, man. I see Brother Yon ready to come back in, man. But that's where I met with this whole curse of chasing money. It's like I don't have to chase money anymore. I trust my higher power. I trust the universal law of attraction, that the things that are needed in my pursuit for happiness and my goals for acquiring the being that my higher power placed me here to be, that I'm going to attract everything that's needed. And I sell my little stuff at my snack shack. I don't make but about $30, $40, $50 in profit a week, but it's enough. And if I do the right things with it, if I continue to invest, if I continue to stay on the front line and finding other ways of helping others, then that will come back around through a karma-like stage of sowing and reaping. And everything that I have a vision of, it will come into fruition. Everything Big Brother G2, Brother Yon, our brothers and sisters all across this nation, Sister Susan, she's starting up a show right now to help sisters and brothers. It's like what we are putting out there in the world as we find who we are and whose we are is breaking the curse of chasing money and what money can do for us and our fleshly desires. Peace and blessings. I'm going to shut up now. I see you, Brother John. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, man. Forgive me, brother.
Are you done? Are you sure?
Well, hold on. I just want to share this one more part right quick. I mean, I thank you. I'm just playing.
All right, well, we're coming down to the last 12 minutes or so. So if anybody does want to come in, press 1. Tell us what you're thinking, you know, if there's something that you heard, any questions you want to ask us. You know, we are an open book, so we're not trying to hide anything. But one thing I do want to touch since you mentioned it is teaching. I think our people have a misconception about how to be taught. It's like you said, having that open handout. You said, well, I'm not a beggar. I'm not going to have my hand out and just, you know what I mean? how do I say this? I'm not just going to have my hand out begging for anything. But our people are begging for knowledge, and they're even willing to go acquire it themselves. They want it to be given to them on a silver platter, like, here you go. This is what you should do. Here's the step-by-step process of how to make it happen. Execute that. You're good to go. That's not how life works, homie, sister. That's not how it works. I'm sorry. How about we sit at the drawing table together? If you need me to help you study, I'll help you study. I'll give you the tools to go research it, go learn it, go understand it. How are you going to believe in the process of being successful? You don't even understand that process. How can you even acknowledge there is a process if you have no understanding or knowledge of it? We have to take the time out, and, you know, the key to being successful in this life is time management. How are you utilizing your time? What if I told you my average day consists about 12 to 15 hours worth of work? Now, what is work to you and what is work to me? Work is I have to go to work. I start my day at about 8 o'clock in the office, but I actually start my day at about 6:30 in the morning where I train. That's my job because I train in something that I'm passionate about. Until about 4 or 5 o'clock, I come home. Some days I train some more. Some days I study to learn more things so I can acquire more tools to put into my little bag of tricks and then execute at a later time. You know what I mean? What are you doing to execute with your time? Other time I may be, you know, developing socially with people on common grounds as I am, going the same direction as I am in life, and we're sharing ideas and bouncing things off each other. You teach me about real estate, I teach you about investing. You teach me about this, I teach you about that. Now I got people who are supporting me. Now I got a network of people who are successful. And what are, you know, like, you know, great minds think alike. You have to be on a level to think like a great mind. You can't just be like, oh, well, teach me what you know. Well, why don't you go research it, brother, and I'll talk about it with you after you have researched it. And if you sound like you don't know what you're talking about, I'll educate you, and then I'll rewrite your understanding of it. And I think that's a huge gap that we have, because we're so used to things just given to us on a silver platter through, you know, the government trying to assist us. And then in other times, they're taking it away from us. And so we've developed the syndrome of, well, I just don't know what to do. We'll figure it out. We do have a caller, so I better shut up real quick. But before I do bring our caller in, that I Am Groot is from Guardians of the Galaxy. And I love that movie. So if you've never seen that movie, it's an awesome movie, great for the kids. I don't know about the second one being too great for the kids, but it's got its moments. So, you know, check that movie out if you'd like to. Definitely enjoy it. I definitely love when the other guy says, I Am Groot. So that's, we've adopted that as our excuse bank. But we got a caller in here, 770-940. Come on in. Let us know who you are, where you come from.
Peace and blessings to you. I'm calling from South Carolina. How you doing, big bro? I'm just calling. I'm real upset with myself because I'm a little late, but I was catching what you were just speaking on about the knowledge, man, about your understanding and about grasping and going to get it. I mean, yeah, this is great. I'm saying, I gotta get the app so I can go listen to this one. But if you're hungry, yeah, you will strive to get it. But if you have a couple of minutes, can you give me a rundown on what the show was about?
Sure thing, brother. Basically, what we're talking about is the curse of money. And, you know, some of the topics I discussed and Brother Hess has discussed is we're just fed up with people who just contend with being stuck. They have no knowledge of self. They have no knowledge of finances, economics. They have no knowledge of a lot of things. They're waiting for a handout. They're waiting for, you know, they're wishing instead of executing type of stuff. Financial peace for, you know, in their every single day life. You know, communication. We broke down kind of the six steps and how we can implement it in our every single day walk. You know, especially socially. Just the individual process of creating that financial wealth that we all seek, more or less. So how do we break the curse of being poor? How do we break the curse of, you know, lack of knowledge or literacy of finances or economics, et cetera?
This is great. It's bigger than I think it's bigger than one. I think it would take a collective, man. I mean, just like you were saying, what everybody got, what each of us could bring to the table. Like, I learned from you, you learned from me, you know what I'm saying? And we take that and we spread it to the youth, the ones that would really strive with it, the ones that would really want it. You know, because it really do seem like in this time and age, man, a lot of us are going backwards, meaning headed in the wrong direction. The objective is going this way, but we are totally going the opposite way. Like, we got our back towards the objective. So, that's a great one, man, but like I said, it would take a collective on that one, man. We could build this forever, man. I mean, you can call me after the show. Yeah, you can bring me up to speed on a lot, because I ain't heard from you in a while. And peace and blessings to you and the organization.
Peace, brother, peace. Who is, real quick, I missed your name, brother. Who were you again?
It is James Flames.
Most definitely, brother, most definitely. We appreciate you coming on by. You know, definitely check out what we had to say on the show. And then I definitely appreciate you, you know, speaking a couple good words. In regards to what you were saying and as far as doing on the collective, I 100% agree with you, brother. The problem is we can't do it on a collective until we as a collective have that knowledge. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not saying that we need to start excluding people, and I'm far from saying that, what's, you know, in a complete sense. What I'm saying is we need to start holding people accountable, that if you're not going to start striving to at least show us that you're willing to put the effort into knowing and understanding, then we just can't have you trying to, you know, piggyback on the train. This ain't that type of train no more, man. That train left. I'm sorry. You might as well try to wait for the next train like that. This train over here, we're on a train of productive. We're on a train of, you know, striving. We're on a train of, hey, you know what? I've learned this. What have you learned? That's what train we're on. If you are not striving for that, why would we want you around? Because you're like dead weight. You're actually putting the brakes on the whole operation. Because then we got to bring you up to speed the whole time. If I have to bring you up to speed, well, what are you going to bring me up to speed that I have not learned? That's a collective. That's my understanding of the collective. You know what I mean? financially, it's hard for, you know, us as a people to collectively put our money into one central place because we've been robbed and lied to so many dang times. Our own brothers lied to us and stabbed us in the back. Our own family members have done this to us. That's the problem we have. We have no concept of loyalty or honesty or integrity in our community because we've been we've been segregated by our own inactivity and misunderstanding of economics. Well, hold on. Well, why is he making more money than I am? Well, maybe he put in more work. And in most companies or organizations, as far as I understand, you get paid what you're worth. So if you ain't worth $100,000, how the heck do you expect to be paid $100,000? There's a reason you make 20 and he makes 100. He brings something to the table that earned that 100. I've been there. I understand it. I've been at the bottom of the totem pole. Then I rose through the ranks because I understood that, you know what, I have to show and prove for them to see, you know what, I see that light over there. That brother's shining. I don't see darkness over there. I see light. I need that closer to me. Okay, let's utilize what he got going on. You know why? Because he's striving to understand everything there is about whatever he is into. Another thing that a lot of our people, and I want to close with this before I let our brother close with what he wants to say. A lot of our people have a misconception of how to actually utilize their resources. You have to triple down, like Gary Vee. I love that brother right there. If you know nothing about economics, go look up Gary Vaynerchuk. I call him Gary Vee because that's what he calls himself. So it's G-A-R-Y and his last name V-E-E. If you look him on Facebook, Gary Vee Official. That's my homie right there. You want to learn about economics, listen to him. He'll tell you some stuff that'll hurt to listen to. But what I'm saying, a lot of people, like he says, you need to triple down on the one thing that you love the most instead of being 9 ways to pregnant on a whole bunch of things that you have no knowledge of. What does that mean to me? I want to be successful on one thing and one thing only. And once I master that one thing, I can start moving on to another thing. Why? Because if I'm spread too thin and I'm trying to try this and I'm trying this and I'm trying this and I'm trying this and I'm trying this, I have no identity. I have no knowledge of self, like our brother has said earlier. I don't know who I am. I'm trying 10 different things and trying to figure out myself. I did this. I ran that rat race. I ran that rat race for over a decade. I'm telling you right now, that's the dumb race to make. Because right now, in this point in time in my life, I've figured out that, you know what? Focus on one thing, get successful in that. Open up another thing, get successful in that. Open up another thing, get successful in that. The goal is, they always say, have 10 businesses bring you an income of $1,000 at a minimum. Now you're $10,000 a month in profit. That's the goal, 10 different avenues of money. Any successful entrepreneur will tell you that. But you have to start with one first, and you have to understand it. You have to have full knowledge of it where you can regurgitate it at like a moment's whim. Man, I need you to tell me about this. Boom, 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 boom. I knocked it all out. You're like, whoa, you really know your stuff. But if I checked you on something like that or quiz you on something, you know, when you know 9 different things but you know very little of them, you're going to be stuck on which one you want to talk about or even be able to talk about it. So we need to stop spreading ourselves thin. And like I said, we have to set realistic expectations of what we want. Like I said earlier, enjoy the process of being successful or being a millionaire, but don't think about being a millionaire, because if you're thinking too much about it being a millionaire, you're distracted by the wrong things. Focus on the things that you can control, not the things that you can't control, and then success will find you. Just remember, it doesn't happen overnight. Brother Hest, it's your moment, man. Close it up. We'll close up the show after that. You know, I appreciate y'all listening to us. You know, I appreciate Brother James Flames coming through and stopping by and say what he had to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peace and blessings. And much love to you, James Flames. Thank you so much for chiming in with us tonight. I know the brothers are right there in your circle and definitely taking in the moment. So any science that you brothers wish to drop, you know, most definitely let us know, and we will alter some of these topics to fit what it is that y'all are having awareness sessions about. You know, that's one of the things that this Thursday night discussion and platform was centered on when Brother Yon and myself first brought this thing up. And if you look at the flyer for the Thursday night show, in the bottom left-hand corner, it has a little emblem down there, and it's called Toolbox Motivation. And it's where brothers begin to open up their minds and see that they have tools mentally. And when they utilize these mental tools, they can fix things around. In the mental realm, in the spiritual realm, in the social realm, in the economic realm, and the list goes on and on and on. But if you don't have any tools and something becomes broken or noticeably not working, what do you rely upon? What do you depend upon? And so I love the way Brother Yon broke that thing down, because this is where we're at today. When it comes to money, when it comes to pursuit of what other people feel we should be, we should have, we should provide, family, we will curse ourselves with other people's expectations. People know it as OPP, other people's problems. See, your problem and your expectations ain't my problems and my expectations. And when I get to know me, I get to understand exactly what it is that I'm supposed to be living up to. You know, back when I was little, I was raised by an elderly lady in her 80s named Mudia. And Mudia, she allowed me to grow up with hand-me-downs. Not that she had any, you know, any say-so in the matter, because she was a poor old woman in the ghettos of the west side of Atlanta. But she allowed me to grow up poor, wearing hand-me-downs. She allowed me to, you know, sometimes go to school, you know, without having a haircut or with holes in my shoes. But the thing is that she told me, you ought to be happy that you're able to go to school. You ought to be happy that you got shoes on your feet. And when I wasn't content with that and I began to start getting some money, like Brother Yon said at the beginning of the show, through cutting grass and raking leaves and cutting hedges and things like that, I can remember making about $32. And I went to my dear and I said, my dear, I want to buy me a good pair of shoes, but I don't have enough. I said, will you hold my $32 for me? She said, let me tell you something, boy. A man ain't a man if he can't hold his own money. She said, at some point in your life, you're going to have to learn how to hold your own money. Because only when you hold your own money do you know how to make your money make money for you. If you allow other people to hold what you're supposed to be in possession of, and I'm speaking to y'all right here tonight on Pops Movement Radio Airwaves. If you're allowing other people to hold on to what is most valuable to your life, meaning your thoughts of success, your purpose in life, if you're letting other people dictate what your relationship is supposed to be, the type of mate you're supposed to have, the type of car you're supposed to drive, the type of presentation you're supposed to walk up with, and you are not a fully developed adult mentally, spiritually, or emotionally. And if that be the case, family, we have to begin to grow and develop. We have to begin to mature. We have to begin to ask for help when it concerns finding ourselves, knowing thyself, and catering to acknowledging the fact that I don't have to be scared of my past. It's my past. It's behind me. And once I forgive myself for it, I got to let it go so that I can move into my present, which is my gift. This is your gift right now. But if you don't know how to appreciate it, then you will hand it over to someone else and tell them to hold your present for you. I don't care if you're in a jail cell. I don't care if you're in the slummest of slums in whatever city across this nation, barrio or reservation. Family, you still have value in the gift of your present if you're utilizing it for what you have been called here to do, to be. Some of our fields of service is going to be inside of prisons or in the ghettos. Others are going to elevate to societies called suburbia, and some will achieve even greater heights than that. But all of these heights are still leading to the same level, and that level is called my calling in life. So regardless of whether I'm serving on the level in rich society and you're serving from a jail cell, a prison cell, or a ghetto cell, if we're really truly utilizing our life for its greatest purpose, to the greatest extent that we can achieve success in elevating those that we love the most around us, then the end result is the same. And go to the next form of life, a spiritual success. And so I just want to salute those who have taken the time to realize what it is that this life is calling them to be, to do, to provide. And as you go through this journey, don't hesitate to ask Brother Yon, Brother Hess. Don't hesitate to ask your grandfather or your cousin for some of their motivational tools of success, because that's how we all succeed. I love y'all very much, man. Thank you so much, Brother Yon, for making this a special week and seeing that money is not going to be our curse another day in this life. Peace and blessings, love and service, family.
Most definitely, my brother. Peace to you as well. Well, wrapping it up, I want to leave a couple quotes and one question at the end just for, you know, thought purposes. Benjamin Franklin said, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. Now, if you don't want to know what interest is, look up that word and understand that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest, quoted by Benjamin Franklin. Okay? Thomas Edison, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. If you know Thomas Edison, that man failed 1,000 times in creating a light bulb, but that man succeeded. Remember that. Okay? Benjamin Franklin, money never made a man happy yet, nor will it. The more a man has, the more he wants. Instead of filling a vacuum, it makes one. And then Jim Rohn, very successful public speaker, said, formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. With that being said, I got one question for everybody. What example are you setting in your walk of life, financially, economically, however you want to state it, and who's watching it? And the second question I want to leave everybody with, everybody has the same 24 hours in a day. How much of it did you invest, keyword invest, into yourself? And with that being said, we'll close up the show. See y'all next Thursday on Breaking the Curse. Brother Hest, Brother Yon, we're out. Have a good night, everybody.
Sometimes I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. Ain't no big deal. Warning, there's another side. Sometimes I feel like I'm just standing in place. Ain't no real race. And ain't no other side. Sometimes I feel like I'm just standing around. It's breaking me down. Can't get to the other side. Sometimes I feel like I'm just losing my mind and wasting my time. Warning, there's another side. Life is like a circle. If you end up where you started, if you end up where you started, if you end up where you started, ain't no other side. Yes, and life is like a curtain, and I'm 90% certain that I've been looking through at something. When the wind blows, I see something on the other side. Obviously new is old, obviously young is old. Seem like everything has got another side. Yeah, it's got another side. Yeah, young ones wanna be old ones, know what they could do if they was young ones. People ain't never really satisfied. Folks ain't ever satisfied. Life is like a mirror. Every step that I take nearer, I can see things so much clearer. Seem like I see so much clearer on the other side. Yes, and my friends all say they know. Friends all seem to know what I should do with my life, how I should run my life, what should be happening in my life. Yeah, they're on the other side. They're on the other side. I'm on the inside, they're on the outside. I'm on the inside, they're on the outside. Yes, need to go home.